Good evening. Would you all please rise for the procession? I'd like to welcome all of you this evening to this very special occasion, the 1978 Holland Village High School Baccalaureate graduation. And I am proud to announce that this is the largest graduating high school class in the history of Holland Village. We will begin in prayer, which will be led by Bev Cagle, the head teacher at Holland School.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the celebration and joy of this day, and ask your blessing on Steve, Margaret, Junior, Kirsten, Gary, Chris, and Paul. We thank you for the gift they have been to the village and for the many ways that they have enriched the life of our community. We thank you for the presence of friends and families that have come to be here for this occasion, and for those who aren't able to be here but whose thoughts are with those who are graduating. May your love and strength be with them as they begin their new ventures. We pray for your guidance in decisions they must make and for opportunities which will help fulfill their hopes. Give them ears that are tuned to a world that is crying out in need and a sense of joy and celebration of life in your fullness. As they go out from here to pursue whatever they have chosen, keep them in your grace and give them a strong assurance of your presence as you continue to nurture and sustain them. We pray this in the strong name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
John Schramm, the director of Holden Village, will be giving the short baccalaureate address.
What a temptation. I am tempted to preach at you one more time. Or I'm tempted to take the role of the wise old man and tell you all about what life is going to be like. Or I'm tempted to complete the education and fill in what Bonnie missed. But she took care of that. I said, what should I talk about? And she said, about 3 minutes. And that's time for only one story. One time an American tourist was privileged to spend a vacation in the Bahama Islands. And he went to relax. And he laid on the beach and he enjoyed the cool water and the blue of the depths of the water. And he really wasn't bothered by anything. But one day the curiosity was aroused. He saw over by a dock a crowd of people and a lot of commotion. And he was a curious individual, so he went over. All he saw was a kind of crude boat, looked more like a raft, one bearded young man who was working on it, and a crowd of people around. So he asked one of the bystanders, what's going on? The answer came back, oh, that kid built that boat, and he's going to sail around the world in it. Isn't that something? And the guy laughed. So he walked over to see, and he realized as he listened that everyone there had words of criticism and had all the reasons that this young guy wouldn't make it. He heard somebody say, the waves will rip that funny boat apart. And somebody else said, you don't have enough water, you'll die of thirst. And someone else said, you'd need a navigator. And someone else criticized the sail that he had fashioned. And the kid just smiled back, shoved off, started out. And this American tourist thought, that's an awful send-off. So he went and ran out to the end of the dock so that his words were the last ones. And he said, I think you're great. Bon voyage. Have a good trip. And back came a smile. Well, that story, we could tell you all the reasons why it's going to be rough out there. We could give you all the reasons why people don't make it. I don't feel like doing that tonight. All we really want to say is, have a good trip. Bon voyage. We're proud of you. Have a lot of quad moments. The surf's up. Go in peace.
These seven seniors have been very special teachers to me this year, and I have been the student. Not to embarrass them, but to simply show my appreciation, I would like to introduce them by telling you what I have learned from each one of them. And along with this goes a presentation of a banner to each student that Mary Schramm made for them. Paul has taught me to listen closely to the special joys in life, which he expresses as quad moments, and to literally jump for joy. Kirsten has taught me to appreciate new hope and growing optimism. Kirsten has also taught me the merit of maintaining a twinkle in one's eye. Life is good. Margaret has shown the gentleness of a lamb when working with children, and from watching her, I have learned the true value of love and patience. She truly is a gift. Steve's lesson for me was to show me how to laugh at myself when I made mistakes and how to work with enthusiasm. Steve has been the best worker Holden Village Snack Bar has ever recruited. Celebrate life. Chris has demonstrated the shy agility of a deer as he quietly and quickly touches everyone with kindness. From him, I have known the beauty of caring. He is gentle. Junior has been my Zorba the Greek, even though he is Italian. Because of him, I have a revived sense for the love of life, music, dance, exuberance, and action. From observing Gary, I have learned the importance of selflessness by tuning into the hearts of others to recognize their needs. He has also taught us to slow down. And to all of you seniors, I say thank you for being my teacher. Also at this time, I would like to introduce the parents who are here with us this evening. Steve's folks, Art and Carlene Brevik, would you please stand? Paul's father, Herb Ringo, please stand. Chris's parents, Clifford and Jill Lundy. And Gary's folks, R. Martin and Inger Joson. We will never forget the kindness of the senior class, especially since they have left us a will. Kirsten, would you please read the class will?
I, Junior Coppola, will my nose to Tim Smith for his wonderful nose job. I also will Wads my twirling arms and dancing legs. I, Paul Ringo, will my will to the will of God. I, Steve Brevik, will a book called The Screwtape Letters to Wads. I, Chris Lundy, being of unsound mind, do hereby will my will to my loving sister Anne in hopes that she can think of something, because I sure can't. I, Margaret Connor, being of sound mind and body, do hereby request that Holden Village be the sole heir of my brain. Then Holden Village will be able to expand and explore the new areas of wider wonder. I, Kirsten Evenrude, will my worries and anxieties to be enfolded in the majestic mountains and silently rest in peace. I, Gary Joson, will to everyone the joy that is Holden Village and God's peace forever.
A few weeks ago, we asked village members to project our senior class into the future 20 years. And this is how they saw each person. So for the class prophecy, we have Paul Ringo as being president of Ringo's Dingoes, the napkin rotation company. Kirsten Evenrude is a diplomat to Syria. Gary Joson is a public relations man for the new Holden Mine Tailings Disposal Company. Chris Lundy will be the author of a comic strip about his pet spiders. Margaret Connor, the author of children's stories. Steve Brevik, a famous auctioneer using his Donald Duck voice. Junior Coppola, teacher of the tango in Tangiers. And now it is time for musical celebration. When I graduated from high school, we had to sing No Man is an Island and Halls of Ivy, just because they were traditional songs to be sung at graduation. Here at Holden, we have no tradition to follow except the tradition of joy. And so we are going to be singing three hymns, and after each hymn, we are going to have three of our seven honor students speak, Paul, Junior, and Chris. So for our first song this evening, let's sing hymn 114, the second tune.
I chose that hymn, but I couldn't sing it with this bad cold. That makes me mad. Fun hymn, though. Wow. I try to make, I don't know if I could do that, though, make it 3 minutes like John did, but that I probably should. I'll just ramble on anyway. Anyway, it's always good to have a main point when you give a speech. And so... My theme is written right on my notes, and I know it anyway. It's a time, you know, it's really funny that what John talked about, you know, going out in the world, and, you know, bon voyage, you know, you can tell about all the stuff that is out there, and you're going to fail, you know, I was taking that pretty seriously, and that's kind of what I've been thinking about, and is that I wanted to say tonight is just a prayer that all of us here and everyone else that's graduating this year in our class, you know, are able to go out in the world and live in it but not of it, to hear the word of God and have faith. Have faith. And I wrote down some things. real nice things to remember. I always write about in these neat little phrases. Everyone's heard them a lot who's been around Holden a while. But, anyway. You know, Woody Allen said, you are what you eat. Surround yourself with good things. That's something, these are the types of things I would like to remember, and I hope that all these clams remember, too. My clam friends. Oh, anyway, it's far too silly. We do not live alone in the world. I mean, what we do has effect. These are also things I've learned. I've learned up here too, and that's why I think it's appropriate. And I would also like to express my thanks at this time to the village, which is thanking God too. And you know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. I got to get that one in. Oh. affects other. We live, like Nancy was saying, we live from each other. You know, I mean, we live from each other, not just for each other. And, I'm kind of rambling on here, but I've got a prayer to do at the end here. I can't write out speech and read it. That's the way I work with these silly notes. going out to into the world here, so-called the world, this is the world here too, but going to the real world, the outside we call it. To live, you know, that life, you know, a Christian life is really going to be, is hard, but because it just turns around everything that the world says. It's really, really upside down, radical, but gee, you know, it's praise God. Oh, I can read this poem. We're getting towards wrapping up time. I wrote this poem. The flowery misdeeds of transient societies lead all of us afield where marijuana grows and tells the nose that someone near his own mind blows. Oh, never fear, God shall be near. May all sheep astray his word hear. I've got some of the things I missed here. I hate to talk about that. I was going to dwell on that, John, how bad it is out, you know, in the world, you know. I think it is this thing, though. You know, we living up here for a while, it's pretty comfortable. It's not comfortable. I don't mean that, you know, but having Vespers, and I was being supported in that, you know, every night, and I won't have Vespers every night when I go back to Seattle. But I have my family, and I thank God for that. I think it is something to remember, and I'm sure with the community of saints, I will be upheld until that day. So I won't dwell on that because we all have faith, and we're not going to be paranoid. Oh, well. Can I borrow your hymnal? Opening our hymnal now to page 231. Let us, number 102 on page 231, let us pray. O most loving Father, who willest us to give thanks for all things, and to dread nothing but the loss of Thee, and to cast all our care upon Thee who carest for us, preserve us from faithless fears and worldly anxieties, and grant that no clouds of this mortal life may hide from us the light of that love which is immortal, and which Thou hast manifested to us in Thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us continue to pray. Let us hear the record of God's saving deeds in history, how He saved His people in ages past, and let us pray that God will bring each of us to the fullness of redemption. Amen.
Let's sing hymn 144, the first tune.
I just want to say a couple things is all, you know. First, I'd like to thank every one of you for, you know, the older people for being my parents and, you know, people in college for being kind of like a brother and sister. And another thing I want to say is a lot of people here have really kind of helped me through without any parents and stuff like that. But I still have all these friends here. Look at them all smile. But anyway, I was nervous, so I had to go out for a minute. that's about all I got to say. So thank you, and you guys have all been really good. Thanks a lot.
Let's sing hymn 152, the second tune.
Seeing Junior nervous like that reminds me of myself, but I remember seeing a great show, Brady Bunch, and I think it was Marcia or somebody had to give a speech, right? And so Pop and Mike, she's really nervous, you know, like I am. But anyways, Mom and Papa said, well, if you just pretend that everybody's out there in their underwear, then everything will be okay because they'll look more foolish than you. Cute clowns, John. But anyways, this is a serious speech. I want to read something from Proverbs. My son, if you receive my words and treasures upon my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you understand in fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The stores up sound. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Well, what I see in this is something to do with learning, and that's what I want to talk about. Because, see, we've been going to school for 12 years, and long years. And so here it is today, you know, graduate. Well, what have I learned? Well, I've learned how to take flywheel off a engine, and I've learned how to pound a nail in without hitting my thumbs. All six of them, right, Raleigh? Where are you? And I learned all about PAC. And I wrote a research paper, but I've learned some other things that don't have to do with school. I've learned how to laugh and how to cry. I've learned what love is. I've learned what a friend is. I remember in fifth or sixth grade, I had a spelling test I had to take. And one of the words on the test was friend, and I'd failed that word before. And my older brother, Rolf, he told me, just remember fry end, and you'll spell it right. Well, if you look at that word, that's what a friend is. Fry, cooking to the end. Cooking to the end, friend. Right? But more important than what I've learned is who I've learned from. Bonnie, Junior, Gary, Steve, Paul, Kirsten, Margaret, my folks, and Gene, and John, and Ken. Gosh, this is fun. And Glenn, and Mr. Joseph, and Mrs. Joseph, and Julie, and Sonia, and Nicole, everybody in the village. God, I'm jumping around. Well, thank you all very much, and I love you all. But I got one question. You think the world's ready for us?
This evening we are blessed with the presence of a famous man who has agreed to make the commencement address. He is a Minnesota man, which makes him great to begin with. He was also a high school teacher for many years, which makes him even greater. He became smart via Murdoch High School, Gustavus Adolphus College, University of Minnesota, and Fuller Theological Seminary. He was a Boy Scout camp director in different Minnesota camps. He was a member of the Minnesota State Parole Board, and he was a member of the Minnesota State Legislature. This background is admirable, but doesn't even compare to his most important quality. He is a lover of the youth. Please welcome Wadsworth Rundquist.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bonnie, you dear, and you honored graduates of Holden Village High School class of 1978, and dear Christian friends, let us pray. Dear Lord, may my thoughts expressed in words be acceptable to you. Grant that through me your holy name might truly be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. How can you add to anything that has transpired to this point? These lovely high school graduates, every one of them. Very choice in the life of Holden Village. Very choice in my life. I think I have learned so very much since my exposure to this delightful group. You as a graduating class have meant most and much to all of us, but certainly to me personally. You have counseled me well as I sat at your therapy table in the dining room. I've learned to refrain from eating peanut butter. You have properly instructed me in the use of golden life. I believe they call that honey. And you have discouraged me in the use of white death. I think they call that sugar. Your graduation tonight does remind me of my own high school graduation 59 years ago. I'm rather egotistical, and I don't mind telling you that I was the brightest boy in my high school graduating class. I was the best boy athlete in my high school graduating class. I was the most handsome, most popular boy in my class. I was the boy most sought after by the girls of my class. And you see, the reason for all of this is that I was the only boy in my high school graduating class. There were six of us that finished. I don't know how we ever did. After the ceremonies were over and congratulations were being offered, the high school principal, a beautiful, beautiful young lady, much like you, Bonnie, congratulated me, and she asked, "Wadsworth," and she didn't even call me Wads, "may I kiss you?" Though I had never kissed a girl before or been kissed by one, I said, "Sure, go ahead." And she did plant a beauty right on this cheek of mine. And I haven't washed that side of my face since. Bonnie, I think that was a nice gesture on the part of the principal. Our Holden Village, located in this beautiful mountain setting, does remind me of a father and son who started out on a hike together late one afternoon. It might have been the trail that leads to the top of Martin Ridge. And as the sun was setting, they made camp for the night, high up on the mountainside. Then as they viewed the beautiful sight below them, the son remarked, "Dad, see how far we have come today." "Yes, son," said the father, "but look to the top of the mountain and see how far we have to go." "Yes, class of 78, you have come a long way. You have received a good secular education. You have been well grounded in the basics through your academic training. But even more importantly, here at Holden Village, you have received that spiritual truths and values of this Christ-centered community. You, class, have been an important part of all of this. I am sure that your own Christian faith and commitment has been strengthened. May it continue to grow even stronger as you go out from this Holden community, so that Christ's love for you might be reflected to others. As we continue to look at the trail over which we have come, we can receive much strength and guidance from many who have served so well. I think of President Lincoln, who during the trying times of the Civil War did preserve the very union of our states. And he recognized the dignity of man, all precious in the sight of God. And he pledged to all of us that this nation under God should have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people and for the people, should not perish from the earth. I also think of General Washington, our first president, who in our fight for freedom led his brave army of 2,400 men across the Delaware River, which incidentally was full of floating ice at the time. How they marched 9 miles on to Trenton through snow and ice and sleet, his poorly clad army suffering untold hardship. But in a short, decisive victory, he recorded a successful mission with the loss of but 2 men. But most regretfully, 2 of his men froze to death. History records how a grateful people took time out to thank their God for the victory. And they prayed for renewed courage in their struggle for freedom. Later we find Washington and his brave army of 11,000 men at their winter quarters at Valley Forge. The men in this retreat could be traced in the snow from the blood that oozed out of their frozen shoes. Washington alone moved among them in their improvised shelters, huddled around campfires, the sick and dying in crudely built hospitals. But 7,000 of those 11,000 men survived. And it was largely because the government and individual men had degenerated, were selfish, were incompetent, and were corrupt. Because of this, supplies which were stockpiled elsewhere could not and would not be moved for their relief. It has been said that the pen is mightier than the sword. Maybe that is what challenged an editor of that day to challenge these corrupt men as he wrote, "God, give us men. A time like this demands strong minds, true faith, ready hands, men whom the lust of office does not kill, men whom the spoils of office cannot buy, men who possess opinions and a will, men who have honor, men who will not lie, men who can stand before a demagogue and damn his treacherous flatteries without winking. Tall men, sun-crowned, who live above the fog in private duty and private thinking." I think also of those early pioneers of our states and nation who left their homelands in Europe during the middle of the last century and on. They immigrated to North America. They were truly spiritual heroes in their dedication to a purpose. Though at first their final destination in America may have been unknown to them, their purpose in life was clear. Tenaciously they battled the virgin soil of their established homesteads. Discouragements were many. Crops failed. Grasshoppers destroyed. Blizzards crippled and killed. Financial panic left many penniless. Yes, and sickness and death and plague took loved ones. But through it all, they grew stronger, stronger in their faith that their God, who had guided their destinies in their homeland, would continue to provide for their needs in their newly adopted country. Their God would give them the strength and courage to carry on. They asked so little, but gave so much. They sought better opportunities for themselves, for their children, and for their children's children. The one theme running through all of their achievements was faith in God, love, devotion, and hope for a better way of life. The first and second generation of these early pioneers have long since laid down their burdens. Their names can be read on the tombstones of our many cemeteries, all inscribed thousands of miles from their place of their birth. It might be well for all of us to reassess our own lives and then to rededicate within ourselves the teachings of that same God who had guided the destinies of our pioneer fathers and mothers and the statesmen of our great country. Yes, that guidance and help we seek is so well expressed in the last verse of America, where we sing, "Our Father's God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King." But finally, let us take one short look at the top of that mountain. Some years ago, I represented our state of Minnesota at the White House Conference on Children and Youth in Washington, D.C. And at one of the sessions, a story was told by a football coach of a large Eastern university. He told of a young lad entering the university, going out for football, and making the freshman team. He was diligent, conscientious, but never quite good enough so that he got into play. He always sat on the bench. The same was true during his experience on the varsity team. He never was quite good enough. He always sat on the bench. One observation that the coach and teammates made was that prior to each home game, this fellow could be seen accompanying his father to the seat in the stadium. And then after the game, he would meet his dad, and together they would leave the stands. During the young lad's senior year, his team was on the losing end of all the home games. And just prior to the last home game, this boy's father died. The last game of the season was no different. The team was on the losing end of the score. Back in the locker room at half pint, the boy went to his coach and pleaded for one chance to get into the game. He said, "We're on the losing end of this score. We have nothing to lose. Please send me in, coach." He said, "After all, this is my last opportunity. This is my senior year." The coach did send him in. The boy played flawless football. He was an inspiration to his teammates, and they did win that game. Back in the dressing room after the game, the coach came over to the boy and congratulated him on his great performance and said, "I am sorry for one thing, and that is that your dad could not have been up in the stadium to witness your great performance." The boy, with a big smile on his face, looked at his coach and said, "Coach, you are wrong. Do you know, this is the first game that my dad ever did see, because my dad was blind." That young fellow had faith. He had faith in his dad, faith in his school, his coach, his teammates, faith in himself. But most importantly, he had faith and trust in an almighty God and his own Savior, Jesus Christ. And now I salute you, class of Holden Village, class of 1978, Chris, Gary, Junior, Kirsten, Marjorie, Paul, and Steve. I leave with you a message in song, which might well be an addendum to this important evening in your lives. To love someone more dearly every day, to help a wandering child to find his way, to ponder o'er a noble thought and pray, and smile when he falls, and smile when evening falls. This is my task. To follow truth has blind men long for light, to do my best from dawn of day till night, to keep my heart fit for his holy sight, and answer when he calls, and answer when he calls. This is my task. And then my Savior by and by to meet, when faith hath made her task on earth complete,
and lay my homage at the Master's feet within the jasper walls, within the jasper walls. This crowns my task.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Carl. The class of
'78. Hold on a minute.
Thank you, Wads, very, very much for that. Fritz Norstedt, the interim director of Holden Village, was unable to be with us this evening, but he wrote the class of '78 a letter, and I would like to read that now. Dear and good friends, Gertrude and I regret that we are unable to join you in person at your graduation. As we drove away from 25 Mile Creek after leaving the village on Monday, we tried to find a way to get back for the big event. Failing in that, we began to talk about what great people you are and how much you came to mean to us during the year we had together. We hope you will not be surprised to hear that we love you and appreciate your contributions to the enrichment of our lives. You are and will continue to be cherished friends. And of course, congratulations. It is a great thing to graduate from high school. When that high school is Holden, it is a special thing indeed. You will not have to apologize for the academic qualifications of your school. But when good instruction is multiplied by the factors of personal attention and great love, you have had the very best. Your instructors have provided that. The whole setting of Holden has, in a wider sense, provided it also. The school and the community are uniquely related. For the student, indeed for all of us, Holden provides a laboratory for not only learning, but for living. And the life is described, defined, informed by the gospel. In such a context, life is exciting, meaningful, and joyous. It calls for appreciation and gratitude, for perpetually raised eyebrows, and an increased pulse rate. And cynicism is its principal symbol of failure. Please excuse me. All we really want to say is congratulations, and we love you all very much, and thanks. Many, many thanks for you, Gertrude and Fritz. And now for the big moment. Holden Village High School is a branch of Chelan High School, District 129. And there are five students here tonight who have decided to graduate from Chelan High School, and they will be receiving two diplomas this evening, one from Holden Village, which John Nyquist has made for us, and the other from Chelan High School. And Gary and Chris have decided to receive their high school diplomas from their old high schools, and so this evening they will be receiving the diploma from Holden Village only. And this summer, they will get their other diplomas in the mail. Orlando F. Coppola, Jr. Gary P. Joson. Stephen H. Brevik. Christopher M. Lundy. Paul H. Ringo. Kirsten M. Evenrude. Margaret C. Connor. Ladies and gentlemen, the graduating class of 1978. You may be seated. Final last words of wisdom. There's an old essay called Desiderata that I would like to read to you. Go placidly amid the noise and haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. As far as possible, without surrender, be on good terms with all persons. Speak your truth quietly and clearly, and listen to others, even the dull and ignorant. They too have their story. Avoid loud and aggressive persons. They are vexations to the spirit. If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain and bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than yourself. Enjoy your achievements as well as your plans. Keep interested in your own career, however humble. It is a real possession in the changing fortunes of time. Exercise caution in your business affairs, for the world is full of trickery. But let this not blind you to what virtue there is. Many persons strive for high ideals, and everywhere life is full of heroism. Be yourself. Especially do not feign affection. Neither be cynical about love, for in the face of all aridity and disenchantment, it is perennial as the grass. Take kindly the counsel of the years, gracefully surrendering the things of youth. Nurture strength of spirit to shield you in sudden misfortune. But do not distress yourself with imaginings. Many fears are born of fatigue and loneliness. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Therefore, be at peace with God, whatever you conceive him to be, and whatever your labors and aspirations, in the noisy confusion of life, keep peace with your soul. With all its sham, drudgery, and broken dreams, it is still a beautiful world. Be careful. Strive to be happy. The only thing I have to add to that is that I love you very much. A special thank you for Steve for playing the organ for us this evening and for Karin, the piano. Also a special thanks to the kitchen for the wonderful meal and for preparing that reception, which will be in 15 minutes in Koinonia. A special thanks to all the teachers that helped these students this year. And to John Nyquist for printing the diplomas for us. And John has one little thing that he would like to read for us.
Days ago, I came across a paragraph that's appropriate to the occasion tonight, especially to those who are involved in all the exercises. And I asked Bonnie to read it, and I thought it just to read it. And then she read it and liked it, and she asked me if I would read it to you folks. And the writer says, "Graduation exercises in my hometown were always followed by a reception with teachers and honor students in the receiving line. When my aunt's youngest son graduated, she dutifully inched her way down the line until she reached the last person, a new teacher. 'I'm glad it's done,' she said, to which my aunt replied with a heartfelt sigh, 'I'm glad it's over, too.'"
Please stand for the reception. Meeting of the Holden Village PTA. There will be no business, no minutes, no other business. We have only monkey business. Only serious business.
We've come here to honor our graduates tonight, and we have chosen to honor them in song, an original song composed for this occasion by some very talented people that we have in our village. We would like everybody to be honorary members of our PTA tonight, so we'd like to teach you the chorus. In each verse, we're going to mention each of our graduates, and we would like the rest of the graduates to see that the name we mention stands. Here we go.
Holden.
Holden, you've been so good to you. Holden, Holden, to Holden, Holden you'll be true.
Our junior disco king, he makes the village swing. Saturday night won't be so bright without his boogie thing. Holden, Holden, it feels good to you. Holden, Holden, to Holden you'll be true. Big Paul is our delight. His blues are out of sight. Therapy table won't be the same. We're loving with all our might. Holden, Holden, it's been so good to you. Holden, Holden, to Holden you'll be true. Kirsten's fair of face, she's blessed with so much grace. When you leave, the boys will grieve. You're a credit to the place. Holden, Holden, it's been so good to you. Holden, Holden, to Holden you'll be true. We know a man named Chris, whose smile is hard to miss. His hats we fear, we all prepare. He gives us all such bliss. Holden, Holden, it's been so good to you. Holden, Holden, to Holden you'll be true. Senior Gary Pooh has brought much joy to you. His darkroom things and guitar strings are Gary through and through. Holden, Holden, it's been so good to you. Holden, Holden, to Holden you'll be true. Margaret is her name. She's Minnesota's flame. With gold hair bright, the kids delight. To love them is her aim. Holden, 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 to Holden you'll be true. This Eve with beard of red, Mrs. Breakfast stays in bed. Never saw when Pooh Hall calls, he's a winner, it is said. Holden, Holden, it's been so good to you. Holden, Holden, to Holden you'll be true.
Tell you that we love you so.